You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, the equity markets have been decoupling from the economic reality for some time. That caught up with global markets today on growing concerns about the long-term impact of the coronavirus and simmering US-China tensions. The worries couldn't stop oil prices from marching to a 2.5-month high, though. I see London, Frankfurt, Paris and Wall Street all between 0.5% and 1.3% lower. The dollar seemed to be backsliding again too, as we saw the rand on a tear. Much to do with dollar strength, though, as it surged to a near 2-month high, 17.70 to the greenback, and we gave back roughly 1.5% on the all share. Anthea Gardner, MD of Cartesian Capital, has your view from the market. Good evening, Anthea. It was also a big day for central bankers, too. 50 basis points, the FRA market guessed it, but growth, 3.8% next year. How likely is that?
Good evening, Michael. Yes, when I first saw that 3.8% prediction in our growth, I didn't know what to think about it almost. And I think we will come off a low base. And even, actually, now that we're talking about coming off a low base, the Reserve Bank predicting that our economy will shrink between 6 and 7% this year, when everyone else is talking 10%, I feel like they've lost kind of touch with reality almost. And I say that, but actually it does feel like making predictions in this environment is actually just a futile exercise.
Oh, it is. And the governor said uncertain times make economic forecasting very tricky. So the forecasts we've incorporated use all the data we have to date, and we have to make assumptions. Now, there are a lot of assumptions going into this. We still don't know how the lockdown levels are going to work. There was some talk leaked yesterday following a meeting between the president and opposition political parties that we'll see a lot of the country going into level three come the 1st of June. But the major metros, where we're seeing still some rapid spread of the coronavirus, remaining in level four. Now, could you imagine what the impact will be if we have Joburg and Cape Town, for example, remaining for an extended period in level four?
Yeah, Michael, I think we're all just, they're all just trying to figure out what to do. These are such new, different circumstances that I'm loath to criticize anything that gets done, because even I honestly wouldn't know where to start. And I think they're doing the best they can, to be honest. It is very confusing indeed. And this whole talk of coming out of lockdown and getting the economy kick-started is an interesting discussion as well. We saw other economies or other countries come out of lockdown, and then, of course, the markets rallied a bit. But again, today, we saw markets under pressure, struggling, despite some decent economic data, by the way. Maybe not economic data to set the world on fire, economies on fire, but better than expected, right? And normally, if you get better than expected results coming out, the markets react quite positively. They like that. But I think today it's just all too confusing for everybody.
What does the latest interest rate cut mean for investors? Well, for the longest time pre-COVID-19, investors could happily park their money in money market vehicles and get CPI plus a couple of percent, and it was pretty much risk-free. Those days are gone.
Indeed. So if you're looking for income funds to be invested in, now is absolutely the wrong time. You can't go and put your money into a money market fund where the interest rate varies and is just coming off and off, even if you are looking for less volatility and more certainty of yield. What's interesting about what we're seeing at the moment is that it feels like the consumer is more creditworthy than the South African government, right? Because you could borrow money at a lower rate than the government can. And I guess that probably means, I think, I'm going to guess here, that bond yields have to come down. It's funny hearing myself say that in this environment, but something has to recalibrate, doesn't it?
Yeah, something's got to recalibrate. We've already seen that bond come all the way back down to just under 9%, so pre-downgrade levels, as we do see a global hunt for yield and our own Reserve Bank purchasing bonds, supporting bonds at the moment. I want to move into some company results today, and there are a slew of them. Spar Group up 6.3% on the back of a HEPS decline that was largely expected. There were some funny accounting issues with that Polish acquisition. But if you look through the numbers, COVID's actually working to their favor in the Swiss market, and actually not a bad operational performance. Plus, it's one of those essential service providers, so it does get to trade through the COVID-19 lockdowns.
Yeah, I think a fairly solid performance, and particularly from South Africa. And then, of course, as you said, Switzerland just continuing its kind of improvement, I should say. Poland really disappointing. So actually, if you exclude Poland and the other ones off, the adjusted HEPS was up 9%. So very strong in this environment, I would say. Very surprising to see them declare a 2 rand dividend. It is, so the dividend is down 7%, from last year, and pretty much in line with the headline earnings, normalized headline earnings, and maintaining that kind of payout ratio. So that's right. But it's nice to see that they've got, that management have confidence in the company's ability to generate cash and the strength of their balance sheet if they're prepared to pay dividends, where other companies are just holding on to cash as desperately as they can.
Absolutely. One of the few ones to be paying a dividend in this environment is almost every company reporting now is putting that decision on hold, on furlough until the full year. Investec came out with what seemed to be really disappointing numbers, lower than expected adjusted earnings per share. And I suppose not surprising given the current conditions. But if you were to look as an investor, say, pre the split with 91, as it's now known, the asset management side, one would have almost looked at 91, the asset manager, as a cyclical business. It earns performance fees in a rising tide. And so when that demerger happened, you felt, well, maybe Investec was the better bet. But with the banks trading where they are at the moment and the poor economic outlook, I'd rather own 91 over the bank right now.
Sure. Yeah, it's a shocking set of results, actually. Operating profit down almost 17%. You'd say that, but, you know, Michael, they did point out to the fact that wealth and investment business got net inflows of £600 million and the deposits increased by 3%. And they kind of said that this was offset by the global economic issue, what's happening at the moment. And how funny is this? They actually put a number on the impact of COVID-19, saying that it cost them £105 million. It was very disappointing, I must say. Return on equity of 11% compared to the previous year's 14%. In this environment, doesn't seem shocking, but it's really not great, actually.
I think some warning lights, some lights starting to flash amber there in the Investec shareholder cockpit, and I think some searching questions are going to be asked of management. Mr. Price came out late yesterday with an announced capital raise, up to 10% of its issued share capital. It's looking to raise probably around 3 billion if you look at the numbers. And it's an interesting move considering that it doesn't have to come to market. Its balance sheet is looking quite good. It's not a distressed capital raise. We've seen the PIC recently up at stake in Mr. Price to 15%. And we've got Edcon in business rescue. One starts trying to connect some dots here. Do you think a potential play for Jet or parts of the Edcon group could be constructed here? What do you make of that announcement yesterday?
We absolutely, so of course our company, our analysts have a WhatsApp group, and Jet was the first name that came up after we saw the announcement of the capital raise, a very strategic move for Mr. Price. Before the capital raise, at the last results presentation, they had 4 billion rand of net debt. So after the capital raise, they had 7 billion rand to play with, basically, and I think that's a pretty nice arsenal, you know, for potential acquisitions going forward. And I think this kind of, there is definitely going to be forced capital raises, especially in the retail sector. And to get in there, to get ahead of the queue, was a very clever move. you certainly cannot fault them for doing it. You know, they're currently trading on like a 12 times forward price earnings ratio. And those are the kind of levels where you expect them to do buybacks and with all that cash. But to then go and raise kind of counter to the ordinary or the usual playbook, I would say.
Anthea Gardner, MD of Cartesian Capital, equally at home in the markets and on the cover of Women's Magazines with your view from the market.